Welcome to Narratives. Tears of the Cheetah is set in South Africa. Here the protagonist is watching TV in a shebeen when he's presented with horrifying scenes of his home village.
Dominic glanced up at the television from behind the bar area. Turn that up, Makamela. He looked at the buxom woman serve breakfast from behind the counter. I live there, she did, and turned to watch. He felt sick as he watched the news on the television. The camera panned and he saw giant orange flames leap from one shack to another. The residents of yet another burning shack ran out in their pyjamas with no possessions in their arms, just fleeing. The fire engulfed their homes. Dark smoke rose from the roof where the tarpaulin had been held down with tires as they began to burn, and the cameraman adjusted his focus again. He knew that section of Alex. He knew that place. It was close to their family home. He saw a woman he recognized as his own Ngoma running, crouching over. In her arms, she carried a small baby, and a child of about three held tight to her nightdress and ran with her, illuminated by the fire behind. He could clearly see the fear in the child as they ran towards where the fire trucks pumped an inadequate amount of water onto the shacks closest to the engines, but it was not reaching where the main body of the fire raged. He walked towards the TV. Cheech, he said. My God, not my family. Quickly, he looked at his phone and saw a message. We are safe. The fire did not get us. Ngomo. He slumped in the chair. Someone came from behind and put their hand on his shoulder. A deadly silence fell in the shebeen as people turned their attention to the flat screen on the wall. Cameraman showed men hastily pulling down a line of shacks to try and make a fire break between the buildings. They had choppers and crowbars, shovels and square fence posts as weapons as they beat down and trampled shack after shack, trying to clear an area between them that the oncoming flames wouldn't breach. He saw Noah, his clothes wet with sweat, as he put his whole weight behind a corner of a shack, trying to push it over to help stop the fire. He had a t-shirt wrapped around his face, but Dominic would know his brother anywhere. He could see the scar that ran the whole way up Noah's leg from where the wild pig had gored him, and a much younger Dominic had stitched him back up himself. Without his shirt on, he could see that the new scarring from the strikes Noah had received from the shambuck at the instruction of Marn Tooley. Hatred burned deep in his stomach. Suddenly, gunshots could be heard, and the cameraman's picture wobbled as he hit the ground, trying to get out of the way of danger. He continued for a while as the cameraman panned around, looking for the area that the gunshots had come from. Dominic's heart sank further as the cameraman caught a blast in the left-hand side of his lens. He moved to capture the whole image just as another blast rocked them. The cameraman continued to film the scene. Dominic couldn't pull his eyes away from the TV. Even though he knew they were safe, he couldn't stop watching as the horror unfolded. He should have been home last night, except he never got there. The fire had been set for him. He knew it. His Ngomo knew it. He had walked away from Marn Tooley, and this was the price his family was paying. 6 weeks. That's all the time she had taken to come after him. Yet another bullet exploded in the intense heat, bringing his eyes back to the square screen. He knew that it was his family's weapons cache that had been under his bed and that it obviously just exploded, and there were still two more, much bigger explosions to happen. He had acquired those limpet mines at the Soweto market, those he was holding for a specific customer, but the CITES official, Paul Joyce, had failed to collect the mines he had ordered. His late collection was going to cost him his mines, as Dominic knew that what was coming. There was no way that that amount of heat and fire, the explosives in those mines, wouldn't explode. He heard the TV reporter talking. Disaster teams continue to battle to control the blaze. It is believed that fire broke out after 2 a.m. this morning, and no one seems to know what started it. It could have been a candle or paraffin stove. It is believed to be one of the worst in history. It has already destroyed over 1,500 shacks. Most of those who have escaped have little time to collect any of their possessions as they ran. Many have lost everything, their identity papers, their money, and their meager possessions, some even their lives. There are 7 confirmed deaths so far, and the number is set to rise by morning when the fire crews can search the burnt-out shacks. Dominic stared at the TV. No one in the shebeen moved. There was an unnatural silence. He focused again on the reporter. Because the rate at which the fire is spreading between the informal settlement homes is out of control and the crews on the ground, we're finding it difficult to reach the hot spots of the fire owing to the lack of access room between the shacks and the strong winds pushing it through the settlement. The cameraman caught the exact moment that the mines exploded and was thrown to the ground. Dominic watched as the flames leapt the containment line and continued to burn. The fire licked out of the windows and the wood, and the cardboard houses of the other cameraman zoomed in on. He showed how the roof quickly collapsed and the fire was already lapping at the corrugated iron on the shack next to it. A young boy ran out and barreled towards the camera crew. For a moment, the cameraman focused on the boy. Then he withdrew again, and the enormity of the fire could be seen as an orange hue glowing brightly over the township. Dominic's cell phone rang. He ignored it. It rang again. A few seconds later, it rang again. He answered, cringing, knowing the caller was Marne Tooley. "Are you watching the television?" Her distinctive voice was clear, as if she was standing right next to him. "You psychopathic bitch."
You've been listening to T.M. Clark, reading from her novel, Tears of the Cheetah. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.